Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So excited to welcome Cynthia Freeland, who joins us from Los Angeles NFL Network. And Cynthia, I know it's been a few days since this trade took place and Sam ends up with the Panthers, but how do you like it for both Carolina and for New York?
I think it's a great fit on both sides. The first thing was, look, if this new regime for the Jets wants to pick a quarterback, then they should do it the first year they're there. Because if you look at, you know, what happens after that, the leash becomes shorter. The opportunity for a team to really revamp, take some time, you know, the owners become impatient. And it, whether or not they say, it doesn't really matter how long of a deal they signed. It's just, it's the nature of the sport. And on the other hand, with the way that it went with Sam's contract and having to decide if they did that option to take it or not, the real price tag would have been about $21 million, right? So $750 this year, about $20 if they signed that tag for next year, or the rookie tag, so that they could get that $20 million, and which would be a premium to the market. So for them, for $21 million and a new opportunity, you're only picking twice at second, you know, maybe once, you know, obviously we all like to pick. You'd like to think they're not going to pick so quickly in the draft in the future years. So it's an opportunity cost. And then as far as the Panthers are concerned, $21 million for 2 years for a guy who they believe in, that's cheap compared to what you'd find in the open market.
For sure. Although I kind of feel like Sam Darnold just can't stay away from Tom Brady. If Brady goes to the NFC South, Darnold, he's got to be right there with him.
He's so, like a bad, like, maybe don't do that. Like, yeah.
Or maybe he's like, you have got to be kidding me. I just got to play in a division without Tom Brady, and now I'm back with him again.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, definitely.
So here we are. We're a couple of weeks away from the NFL draft. And from your math stats brain, I'm wondering, how do you go through and match up teams with picks, whether it's need, whether it's value? I know that you look at things differently than most people do when they're talking football. So how do you look at the draft upcoming for value?
So try to figure out, like, you know, needs are always important. Obviously, if you don't need a quarterback, you're in a much better situation. But this year, more than ever, I've gone through and looked at things, like, a lot of different ways, because I think there's a lot of different strategies. I think this year is going to be interesting. We obviously saw the Patriots take a different strategy than we've ever really seen them in terms of spending take in free agency. So that's going to impact the draft. And it's a lot more uncertainty in this draft than in prior drafts, too, because the season was so weird with COVID. I mean, everyone's pro day has, I mean, if you aren't running 4-4 or whatever, are you even trying? You know, like, what's going on with you, right? So it's just all so different. So I've been trying to take a lot of different approaches to see what's kind of, is there consensus? And in some places, for some teams, there is consensus for where they should pick. A lot of teams, this is a really strong draft class for tackles, for offensive play. Maybe some are, could be a guard or a tackle. There's some discrepancies, but, and it's great for corners, and it's great for wide receivers again, not so good for defensive tackles, not so great for, you know, a lot of the edge rushers are quite raw. So, you know, there's no Chase Young in this draft. So it's interesting because sometimes need's the better way to do it, and other times kind of best available. It just really depends where you're picking. Like, you know, once you get past about 20, it's probably smarter to take for, you know, best available in this year's draft class than need, you know, all things considered.
Cynthia Freeland of NFL Network is with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. I was looking over some of your recent posts and some of your recent videos or work that you've done for the network, and I saw that you did a deep dive on the wide receivers, which is really a fascinating position for this upcoming draft. And so you were kind of fitting teams together with the available receivers. What did you come up with for some of the top guys that are available?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing about this is there's a lot. So I tried to look at it from both ways, right? Like where, who has the highest fit, like, period, and then where would the player go? Because, you know, any team with a need, they have kind of different ones. One that came up for me that was, you know, quite interesting was, you know, where do you think, where does it go, like, in terms of, you know, people like the Giants, for example, who they obviously went and spent a lot of money on Kenny Golladay in this offseason. So who do they go target, and where, what kind of routes do we look at to complement what they did with Kenny Golladay? So, you know, actually, a number of players, like if you look at it from the perspective of a team, came up. But if you look at it from the perspective of which player adds the most wins to a team, it is quite interesting. Obviously, the number one, Ja'Marr Chase, is, you know, a very, I guess, like, he's probably maybe in terms of who has the best chances to be like a, you know, all pro, whatever. He's probably like the number one guy. I paired him with the Dolphins. I paired Jalen Waddle with the Giants because of those the route complement, like the complementary factor of the route running for him, and with Kenny Golladay. Devonta Smith with the Lions, and then I went with Terrace Marshall to the Ravens just because of his big body, and then Kadarius Toney to the Cardinals, actually, but that assumes that there's no Larry Fitzgerald.
There has been talk about whether or not Devontae can be a long-term receiver at a high level in the NFL because of his size and because he's so slight. I'm a huge fan. A lot of times guys coming out of Alabama are already equipped to succeed, but you believe that he can be a guy who excels at the NFL level?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, he's really good in press coverage. I mean, top in FBS, like, really, really good. I don't care about his size. I mean, I do, but I do, but I don't, right? So when you look at how consistently he runs routes, and I track it with computer vision, like, it looks like a telestrator. So you see, like, the yellow line that follows it. Alabama receivers are really good at running routes.
Yes.
I mean, Calvin Ridley is a poster child for this. And Devonta Smith is just like that. He's really interesting because he has a high floor, meaning he has less likelihood of being a bust, and he also has a super high ceiling. You know, his size does mean that it will matter. You know, I don't look, I'm from Michigan. The Lions are going to be terrible this year, so I'd like to put him in a different team for his own success, but I think he'll be, but the point is that he has, what that means with the math is that he flashes as someone that is a true, like, number one wideout right away. So that's it. I'm not worried about his size. He's not like my height, right? He's not 5'6".
No, he's not that. Amari Cooper, another one out of Alabama who runs really precise routes. So as a Lions fan, how do you like Dan Campbell and the whole idea of biting people's kneecaps?
I mean, look, everybody loves a good presser, and we all love a good soundbite, you know? We all love a good soundbite. What's not to love about that, right? I think that this team strategy makes no sense, at least at this point, which, you know, that's kind of what I think all Lions fans like have come to expect. But I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot because, of course, what other choice do I have? I do think he seems like a nice man. Like, he seems like a guy who, like, oh, like, he'd be fun. You'd have a beer with him, whatever. But I don't know about the whole strategy. I don't know if the whole Jared Goff situation, there was some really pricey contract that they just basically took over from the Rams, you know, on defense too. So we'll see.
Fourth
in the NFC North. Okay. Again, got it.
We did have a bunch of fans from Detroit say that if they had as much money as they needed, money were no object, that they would purchase the Lions because they believe the Lions need new ownership and need a new perspective and kind of get that away from the Ford family. So I'd love to pose that question to you because I know you're a fan of sports across the board, not just the NFL. You're tweeting about the Masters. I know you like to watch other sports too. So if you have Monopoly money and money is no object, what franchise in sports would you purchase?
You know, it'd be really hard. I like to make more money. It's funny, those are nice Lions fans that, like, want to help out the team and get them some wins. I'm like, who's going to make me some money? Give me the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sitting there, like, why would I take anyone that's not going to, maybe the Giants, but they're just such a good, like, already, like, historically great franchise. So, I mean, the Maras are so special, and so is Jerry Jones. But, like, you know, I'd like the money. I'll probably take the Cowboys or, like, Manchester United or some giant team like that. But if it was purely based on, like, if I just had money to kind of burn, I think I'd probably buy the Red Wings. I love hockey. I love my Wingies. And, yeah, Red Wings.
By the way, the Cowboys just happen to be the most valuable franchise in sports, $5.5 billion. So you're right; they do make a lot of money, even if they haven't won anything in a while. Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network is with us. She's smart. She's got not just the math sense, but the money sense. It's after hours, CBS Sports Radio. So quick time hop with me, Cynthia. And I know you were on our show at some point last spring, though I don't remember exactly what month it was. But this time last year, we were prepping for an NFL draft that would originate in Roger Goodell's basement. And it's great that we're not doing that again. They'll be in Cleveland and they'll have limited fans, but what do you remember most about last spring and going through the NFL offseason from wherever it was that we were all sequestered?
You know, I think that was interesting because, remember, we had a full combine and we had, like, a normal season prior to that. So the thing I was, like, really interested about was thinking about this time last year, I was really thinking about how the new prospects would potentially learn. And I think the thing that goes untalked about a lot is the fact that these teams have really had to adapt, like, virtual learning systems for players. So this will actually benefit them this offseason too, even if we go back to more in person than we were last year. It will be more. I just don't know to what extent that will be. Right. But the tools that they created in order to help teach their players were really special and interesting. So you're going to see some the good teams are going to keep getting better. I mean, the Ravens are going to be good again, even though, you know, the Browns have had the most, like, kind of really great offseason in that division. I think the Ravens, the good teams are just going to keep getting better. This year, they'll probably separate themselves even more.
It's interesting that you say that because I've heard multiple coaches and even some players, quarterbacks who've done interviews this year, talk about how it was a different learning experience, but they learned a lot because guys bought in. It was more of a cerebral approach to football. It was more, of course, tape and scouting, more teaching, and yet it benefited many of them who just haven't had that kind of an education in football for years, if ever.
Exactly. And so a lot of these teams they took a lot more of, like, the kind of the old school things and, like, put them on, like, formats that these younger guys are really more excited about, like on their phone or on, you know, it looks more like a video game, or they were basically learning in, like, this VR world that, I mean, I'm not even that old. And, like, I'm like, wow, I can't even, like back in my day, the internet was, but, like, you know, like, But now they're, like, using VR to prep their playbooks, and, you know, they're watching stuff on their phone, like, while they're commuting. Like, it's really interesting. Really interesting.
Cynthia Freeland from the NFL Network with us here for just another minute or two. All right, Cynthia, so how many marathons have you run in your life?
I mean, we're at 23, but
what?
This year I really had to slow down because they canceled all the marathons this year, so I'm just trying to do one in each state. So, I mean, whenever you're ready, let me know. I can send you a training plan. I got, you know, 27 states left to go, so we got to pick a good state where I haven't done, because I'm not going to double up on states because 50 is already ridiculous. And then you pick a state, and I'll get you the training plan, and we'll get out there, and who cares what the time is. It's just, you get across that finish line, and I tell you, it is special.
Okay, so here are my two concerns, and you tell me if I'm just completely ridiculous. Number one, I feel like it's really painful, and so that's the part that scares me the most, is that it seems really painful to run 26 miles. The most I've ever run in my life is the half marathon 13. I've done that 5 or 6 times now, but I've never done 26. Is it really painful?
No. It's all in your head. If you can do 13, you can do 26. I'm telling you.
Oh, I'm telling you.
It sounds crazy, but if you can do it, you can do it. You just have to decide. It is all in your head. And you know what? Of course it's painful at certain times, but at the end of the day, you're so much, like, you're like, oh my gosh, I just ran 26 stinking miles. Like, that's amazing. So I'm telling you, it's worth it. Totally worth it.
Okay.
You don't need to do it more than once.
That's true. I would do it once and then never do it again. I'm not you. So my other big fear is that I won't have the time to train. It does take a lot of time, I'm assuming, but the plan that you said you have for training, is it one that makes it manageable? Because, you know, you and I both have jobs. And
so. Yeah. No, it's like, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably not going to win, right? Like, you're not going to medal. It's going to be okay, though. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, you're going to get, like, you know, you're going to cross the finish line. I'm all about, like, the good thing is, like, you learn the things. You learn, like, where do I need to eat? Where do I need to drink? What, like, you learn, and I want to do it. I don't want to be, like, one of those weirdos that, like, you know, you're just so, like, marathon, like, oh, I give up my entire Friday because Saturday morning at this time I'm going to do it. No. You have to fit it in with your life so that it's an additive, not, like, making people want to punch you in the face because all you're talking about is your stupid marathon.
Exactly. Now, see, my only goal ever when I run, I'm not sure what you set as your goals. My only goal is to get through the entire race without stopping. I don't care if I'm last. I don't care what my time is. It's just to go the entire way without walking or stopping. And so if I can do that, it would be a success to me. Not to mention, I can't imagine at this age, because I'm old, that I could do it. But if you think it's manageable.
You can do it. But here's what I tell you. What's wrong with walking a little bit? You know, like, I'm not suggesting you walk the whole race, but, like, take a drink of water, walk a little bit. Don't give yourself, I mix in some walks because I can't drink water and run fast because it just, like, makes my stomach hurt.
Yes.
So, like, you gotta, you know, you grab the water, you walk with the water, and then when you're ready, you start running again. It's all good.
Okay. I'm going to consider. Have you done one in Oklahoma?
Not yet. I have not.
Well, Oklahoma has this amazing memorial marathon that they do to honor the victims of the 95 bombing.
Yeah, that one's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. I've done the half marathon there, and it's incredible atmosphere because every single mile there are people, bands, or just people awesome. That come out. Some of them, there's this whole stretch where they're dressed in banana costumes and monkey costumes. Don't ask me why.
Why not?
Yeah, it's very entertaining. So if you're potentially thinking about another one in the spring, that one's amazing. That would be the one I would do.
Done.
Oh my gosh.
I'll Google it when we get off the phone here.
Okay. I'm going to think about it. Strongly consider it.
All right. I'm in. So you let me know.
Oh my gosh. My stomach. Okay, Cynthia, you're the best. See, I knew that I wouldn't be able to stand up against your convincing. I knew it.
You know, like, it's fun. My goal is to have fun because it's like, all right, well, let's do some fun things, and then you're going to go to every state, so you want to be able to enjoy something. So
that's true.
It's
very
all
true.
About the fun.
All right. You can find Cynthia on Twitter at cfreeland, F-R-E-L-U-N-D. She is an awesome guest. Yes, amazing person, and I think I may have just allowed her to talk me into running a marathon.
Let's go. I love it.
Cynthia, you're the best. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.